Greetings and blessings to everyone listening today. I am Isis Coppell, host of Planetary Awareness Network, on the air every Saturday on bbsradio.com. Just a quick reminder of what the show is about. It's about humanity, all of us who are actively working to change things for the better by coming up with the solutions to the challenges that are facing all of us as a species and as a planet. The show is about all of us making a conscious choice to change and then taking the necessary actions to create such a change. This is how we will transform not only ourselves, but this world. So today we have a very, very special guest, straight from the hierarchy and the Ashtar Command. Her name is Atona Arrayas. And many of you may remember Atona because she spearheaded the Starlink event in the Los Angeles Coliseum back in 1988. And I'm sure that many of you who were fortunate enough to attend had your lives completely transformed by it. Atona Arrayas is an angel walk-in and works directly under Archangel Michael. She is here today with incredible messages for all of us on this very special day of 777. Atona, are you with us today?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Atona, you have incredible messages to tell us today. Start with wherever you want because they're just all of them are so important. You wanted to talk to us, address us with different items about our interconnectedness and things like that. What would you like to say to us today?
Well, first I want to greet your audience and thank them for tuning in to our station and to this program. I especially would like to greet the members of the Ashtar Command, my friends Bodhi and Barbara. I would like also to thank my friend Marcy, who spent a great deal of time helping me prepare for this. So the first thing that I'd like to talk about is today, 777.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this is a very important day for all of humanity and that it is being acknowledged by people such as Al Gore in the event that is being held on seven different continents.
Right.
And the purpose of that event we are all aligned with, and that's to bring about a planetary shift,
mm-hmm.
bring about a deeper understanding of our connection with the natural world, and the fact that there is tremendous change happening for humanity. I would say it's unprecedented, the changes that humanity is facing at this time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Such as climate change. I'm sure that your audience is aware of this.
Yeah.
And also that these issues that we're going to just touch on today actually need great examination.
Yeah.
And so I'm sorry and apologize for the fact that we cannot go into great depth in 1 hour.
Right.
And all of these issues actually deserve much more than an hour.
Right.
But it's a beginning.
It is a beginning, and it could lead on to other shows where you could be on as well and explore them a little bit more in depth.
Right.
Okay.
So some of the things that I'd like to touch on have to do with climate change.
Okay.
One of the things that I would like to discuss is global warming.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to discuss it from a little bit slightly different perspective, and that is how our government has created a distraction from the scientific truth of global warming. And that was created by creating an illusion that it is a political issue.
Hmm.
Democrats versus the Republicans.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all like a big puff of smoke to take us away from the real issue.
Well, basically, when you have the concept that it's the Democrats versus the Republicans, what happens is you're bounced around between political parties, and mm-hmm. the real issue, which is global warming, is no longer the problem.
Right.
Then you have Democrats fighting against Republicans and all the issues that differentiate a Republican from a Democrat come into play.
Yeah.
And the real issue, which is the scientific fact that global warming is occurring, gets missed.
Right.
And then you have individuals in the world who now recognize that global warming is going on, and they're looking at the way our governments are handling the issues and wondering what is causing this. What is the breakdown that causes the individual person who wants to make a difference in global warming? What is the breakdown between them and the government?
Yeah.
What is it that creates this disconnection where the government is no longer reflecting the knowledge and desires of the people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is a real problem, and I believe that this problem is actually based in a flawed concept. And that flawed concept is how we perceive our world.
Okay, so it's really falls in our hands then.
Yes, it does. It falls in every individual's hands. But understanding what the flawed concept is, it's what I'd really like to talk about today.
Okay.
Because I believe that all of the challenges that are facing humanity have their basis in this flawed concept.
Okay. And what is exactly that flawed concept?
That concept is that something exists outside of ourselves. The concept of separation. And that concept can be seen to exist in all the areas that we have problems in.
For example?
Race, color, sexual preference, religion, Americans versus Iranians. It's actually seeing that there is something outside of ourselves. The fact of the matter is the primary source of all life, whether it is an Iranian, whether it is an American, whether it is a Russian, whether it is an animal, a human, a tree, the fundamental source of all life is undifferentiated by the form. It is interconnected and interdependent. And it is the lack of this understanding that actually creates a disassociation that happens. When you cannot see the interconnectedness between you and your neighbor, your country and another country, one species and another species, another life form, you can't possibly see how you are interdependent.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, when you are disassociated from your interconnectedness, there's an inability to act in responsible ways to enhance your environment, even to grow as a species.
Yeah, we're absolutely missing the point when we think that the bees are dying and what's causing the bees to die.
That's a perfect example.
I mean, my goodness.
I was just recently discussing that with a friend who recently found out that our bees are dying.
Yeah.
Well, I've known this for 3 years. And she looked at me and said, "How did you know that?" Well, there is a level of awareness when you understand your interconnectedness that allows this type of information to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can't understand your interdependence with bees, how can you possibly understand that to lose that entire species will cause dramatic changes in our environment and your environment? And what would that be due to? Do you know?
No.
They're the single most important source of pollination. It's very simple. But the lack of understanding of our interdependence with them causes a disassociation to occur. What happens with that disassociation? It results in a lack of concern.
Yeah.
People are not concerned about it.
Yeah.
They hear it, but they're disassociated from their interdependence with it.
Yeah.
So what happens is they disassociate and have a lack, and that disassociation causes a lack of concern.
Mm-hmm.
And as a lack, and the lack of concern results in non-action.
So what is humanity waiting for? We're all, bombarded by the global changes, the fact that, the bees, I know it's on the internet, the bees are dying and it's going to, cause the lack of pollination of certain types of food. We see the famine occur, and it's in our face most of the time. What are we waiting for? What is it that's causing this non-action situation?
The thing is that when you have something outside of yourself, it's very easy to have something else take responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's another form of disassociation that occurs. So it's our government who's responsible for it. Well, actually, the government is made up of people just like you and me. They have a different role. We put them in office. So there is something else that's going on, and that something else that's going on is that humanity does not understand its interconnectedness and interdependence, and as a result of it, has disassociated from the natural world, and the natural world is what sustains us.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't anyone on this planet that could survive without water. There is no life form on this planet that could survive without water. Well, what does that mean? It means we're in deep trouble. 97% of the water on our planet is salt water.
Wow.
The rest of the water is what we have to sustain all life. Do you think about that when you turn on your faucet and you allow the water to continue to run while you're brushing your teeth?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
Mm-mm. No.
We take it for granted. It's always going to be there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like I said, this disassociation that transpires that enables us to continue with irresponsible acts.
Mm-hmm.
But that's changing. People are asking why. Why is this happening? What can we do about it? That's one of the things that this event that's being held on 7 different continents on 777 is all about. It's about bringing in the awareness mm-hmm. of our interconnectedness and our interdependence and how the natural world needs to be sustained in order for us to survive as a species. But not just us, all species on the planet.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So
you've mentioned at other times that we've spoken that our interconnectedness extends beyond our globe.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you expand a little bit on that?
Yes. A perfect example of that would be how a woman menstruates. When a woman is in alignment, in balance, she actually will have her period on the full moon. So the moon actually, the cycle of the moon actually affects our physical bodies. And that is one demonstration of it, that a planet that is literally thousands of miles away can influence a woman in New York City, can influence the way her blood flows through her system, is phenomenal. But who thinks about that? Really, who thinks about that?
Yeah.
We have to start thinking about that, because it isn't just globally interconnectedness. It's universal interconnectedness. Being able to perceive ourselves globally as a species, regardless of what color your skin is, what country you were born in, what race you were born to, who you prefer to love, all of those things would shift if you could conceive of the fact that you are interconnected with all life. Everything that you lay your eyes on is interwoven at the source.
So what caused this separation?
Well, hold on a minute. Just let me go and give you one more example of that.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I don't know if men know this, but I know women know that their period is affected by the moon.
Mm-hmm.
But here's something that men can think about. The tides, our oceans, are affected by the moon phases. So that's another example that our interconnectedness is not just on the planet. It extends throughout the universe.
Right, right.
So the knowledge of the depth of our interconnectedness will bring about the dissolution of this concept of separation.
Right.
To answer your question.
Okay.
The dissolution of the separation is what spiritually enlightened souls refer to as enlightenment.
Mm-hmm.
So as you know, enlightenment is the awakening to your true divine nature, which is undifferentiated consciousness. Our true nature, Isis, is beginningless, endless, formless, single, being knowledge bliss.
Wow. And we forget, huh?
Well, we have some indigenous cultures that are very aware of our interconnectedness. In fact, almost every indigenous culture, if you research it, you will see that it is their awareness of the interconnectedness of all life that determines how they interact with their environment.
Wow. And when you say indigenous cultures, can you give us some examples of the cultures you're speaking of?
Well, right here in the United States, we have indigenous cultures, our Native American Indians.
Mm-hmm.
Their culture is based on the understanding that we are interconnected. When they fed themselves by hunting, which they're not doing at this time, not like they used to, anyway.
Right.
They didn't overkill. They killed what they needed. And they did that in a sacred way. They prayed and they asked the animal to actually give itself to them. And there was always prayers of thanks after that. You go down to the Amazon and you look at the indigenous cultures in the Amazon. Their interaction with their world is so profound. How do you think they know the medicinal properties of plants?
That's true.
You know how? Those plants literally speak to them.
Wow.
Now, you tell that to our culture, and they'll laugh at you,
mm-hmm.
a plant speaking to you. But the fact of the matter is, how do you think we found out the medicinal properties of plants to begin with?
Yeah.
It was our indigenous cultures that were able to communicate, cross-species communication, that enabled us to find out what plants we could eat,
yeah.
how they could help us, what teas to drink. And they still can do that, the indigenous people.
Yep. I think they even know about the moon phases and when to plant. And I mean, it's amazing.
No, and you know, the fact of the matter is, right here in the United States, the Farmer's Almanac still talks about the various phases, planetary mm-hmm. alignments, and what time, what season to plant, what plant in. So this is information that has existed, but not everyone has been aware of it.
Yeah.
And it is this information that's going to bring about a new paradigm for humanity. And it's not going to come from our governments. Our governments are not going to be the ones that are going to structure this new paradigm. It's you. It's me. It's everyone that makes the decision to allow their interconnectedness to dictate their choices in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there is a great spiritual awakening happening at this time.
Yeah.
I believe that part of that is this 777 event. I do believe that it's orchestrated to bring about great change.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I do believe we will see the gathering of people now in larger and larger numbers is what will bring about an exponential change in the world, in how we view the problems we're facing. It's going to be not just one-to-one, but in larger and larger events.
Yeah.
When you have media like we have now, where you can telecast around the world an event so that literally millions of people can see it, you have the potential to create great change. And every single individual that hears this has the potential to create that change by being in accord with that interconnectedness, by bringing that into their personal life.
Yeah.
By recognizing that when they walk outside and they look at the moon, that the moon is interacting with them. Maybe not on the level where they could actually say, oh, I feel it. I understand it. Fortunately, we don't have to know that. We don't have to know how it's happening, just that it's happening.
Right, right.
That's part of a greater mind that we are just beginning to be able to comprehend.
Yeah.
One of the people I'd like to mention here is Deepak Chopra.
Mm-hmm.
Deepak Chopra, 10 years ago, put out tapes about this mind and use the understanding of our planetary connectedness and how it impacts the world. And it would be fantastic if people would hunt those down, hunt those tapes down, reactivate them. They're there. Ask for that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for Deepak Chopra to bring them out again, because they were fantastic. They were ahead of what was happening now, but they laid the groundwork, because believe it or not, the spiritual people who have, or light workers who have interacted on the levels that they have interacted, are what are bringing about the change now.
Yeah.
They laid the groundwork. It's happening. You can look at it and see We have Al Gore doing an event now. Light workers, you're responsible for having done that.
Absolutely.
Acknowledge it. Yep. No, you did have an impact. You're seeing it. And there's more work to be done.
Oh, yeah.
And part of that has to do with being able to understand how sustainable communities need to be formed.
Yeah.
When a developer goes into an area, he now has a responsibility to do sustainable building. They need to educate themselves. How will that happen? That will happen when people decide that they understand we need sustainable, responsible, environmental design, and they require that in their purchase.
Could you explain sustainable for the listeners that may not know what that means?
Sustainable has to do with being able to take into account the products that you're using and how they impact our environment. The quality of air inside your home impacts your health. So to address it is a sustainable meaning it will sustain life.
Okay.
It will give life. It will sustain life without it having or with it having a minimal amount of impact to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to look at that in our building codes, because right now our building codes in all communities across the globe are not what they need to be. They need to change. They need to take into account rainfall. We should not be actually putting cement all over the planet because we lose, through evaporation, valuable water.
Right.
And water now, and this isn't just in the New Age community or in the more spiritually oriented circles, the UN, the United Nations, has made it very clear that one of the major problems facing humanity is our water. We're losing our water supply.
And is that due to the temperatures rising?
Yes, and yeah. It's also due to the fact that we are not using water in a conscious, responsible way.
Mm-hmm.
When you stand there and you use water to brush your teeth, if you put water in a glass, you would use a hell of a lot less than if you leave the water in the sink running. Being able to reuse water, how we do our sewage, is important because we need to reclaim water.
Yeah.
Because we're going to lose 40% of our water supply in a very, very short span of time.
Yeah,
that means that there are literally millions of people who will be affected by that. And there are thousands of people being affected by that right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's another disassociation. We're disassociated from what's happening in Africa, for example.
Mm-hmm, yep.
The drought that's in Africa is a direct result of our industrialized nation's consumption of water. And also, the CO2 levels creating an increase in global temperatures. So in one area, you have an increase in rain.
Yeah.
But in another area, you have great drought. The United States is going through temperature changes that everyone can recognize are out of balance.
Yeah.
So.
Triple digits now, huh?
Yeah. Some of them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting what you were going back to, what you were saying in reference to the indigenous people and things like that. You know, how those cultures were pretty much, almost erased. You know, we're talking about the ones, you know, the Mayans and Incans and, you know, Incas, and just horrific things that happened to them. Do you want to address any of that as to what
occurred? The fact of the matter is, no one actually knows, at least none of the professional people know what happened to the Incas and what happened to the Mayans, where they went.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know. You know? But if you go into spiritual circles, you will hear where they went. That's not something that I would choose to address at this time.
Mm-hmm.
I would address the indigenous cultures that we have existing right now.
Right.
And the fact that those indigenous cultures, like in the Amazon, they had a very advanced spiritual awareness.
Yeah.
And that advanced spiritual awareness was and still is that they are interconnected and interdependent with the natural world, all of it.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, our misunderstanding of this advanced spiritual awareness of the indigenous people that caused us to see them as uncivilized. And as a result, we perpetuated a horrendous injustice.
And when you say we, you're talking about what?
Well,
the other cultures?
Well, if you go back in time, if you go back really in time, to when this first began, we're talking about the European culture, the missionaries that actually went into the Amazon and saw the indigenous cultures as being... They misinterpreted the understanding that the indigenous cultures had of their interconnectedness with nature and the natural world.
Uh-huh.
They misunderstood this, the missionaries, and saw this as evil. And basically... they set about to bring civilization to the heathens. That's a very funny word, by the way. Just to give you a little bit of information, the indigenous people's connection with the natural world caused them to be labeled. And those labels you often heard back in those times were heathen, pagan. The actual meaning of those words, heath, that's spelled H-E-A-T-H, meant dwelling. Pagus, which was the origin of the word pagan.
Uh-huh.
Pagus meant a small village. These were turned into derogatory terms, heathen and pagan.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because of this deep affinity that the indigenous people had with the forest that the concept of them being heathens and pagans was formed. It was actually a misunderstanding of their spiritual-based, their natural-based spirituality.
Right.
Their nature-based spirituality, not their natural.
Right.
Their nature-based spirituality.
Yeah.
You know, the Christians, missionaries went in and saw their interactions with the natural world and misinterpreted them, saw that as evil. And as a result of that, they wanted to change them and bring their own religious concepts to them.
Mm-hmm.
Those religious concepts are being perpetuated to this day, and those religious concepts actually continue to perpetuate separation.
How is that? How is that perpetuated? How is separation perpetuated by that?
By what?
By the Christian or the religious beliefs or whatever that's happening today. If you can expand on that a little bit.
Well, yes, I could. I'll probably get shot by Christians.
Oh, we are speaking the truth as far as we know it, so
right.
Go for it.
Okay. Well, boy, you really are opening a hot topic here for me. You know, we're going to start getting into understandings about the Bible and misinterpretations of what Jesus said, which has been perpetuated for centuries now. And you're going to be, you know, we're going to be starting to talk about how that occurred. And that's a whole other topic.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just give you a quick synopsis of it.
Okay.
The Bible is a sacred writing, but it is very, very misunderstood. Within the Bible, or let's say the Christian concept of the Bible is that it's inerrant. There are no errors contained within the Bible. And most Christians will swear by that.
Right.
The fact of the matter is most Christians were not able to go into in-depth study of the scriptures. And in order to do that, you have to go way, way, way back. If you go way, way, way back, you're going to have to learn other languages like Greek.
Yeah.
You're going to have to learn Hebrew. You tell me what person in the church at this time has the time to do that. They don't.
Right.
So basically there's a level of trust that they give to their minister, to convey to them meanings. The fact of the matter is, if you go back and you start understanding that the Bible, the original document that would be called the Bible, just simply doesn't exist. It does not exist. What exists is a series or a compilation of letters, mostly letters, that were sent from one community, one Christian community, to another Christian community in order to give them understanding.
Wow.
To formulate a way of living in the world. And the original writings, we don't even have those. We have copies of those. We have what was actually transcribed by scribes. And in those transcriptions, there are many differences. In fact, there are more differences than could some very, very small, but more differences than the entire New Testament.
You're talking about differences in the actual books of the Bible?
Differences in the
writings?
Writings,
mm-hmm.
From the different authors, like Luke and
Mark and John.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There are differences in there. Now, how would the lay person know this? They wouldn't. And so, basically, in order for them to understand this, responsible individuals who have the capacity to study in the language that these transcripts are in have to come forward. And there is one book right now that actually has been written by a Christian man who went into studying in childhood, not childhood, but in his young years.
Mm-hmm.
He went into the ministry, and he went back and he started studying. He learned Hebrew. He learned
the Greek language, yeah, Greek.
He learned these languages, and he went back believing that the Bible was the inerrant word of God, and discovered that in fact it was a very human book. And anyone that's interested in reading that, the name of that book is Misquoting Jesus, the story behind who changed the Bible and why. It's Bart D. Ehrman, it's Ehrman.
Okay.
It's a fascinating story, and I highly recommend that people read that. And now that that's said, I'd like to move on because my intent is not to antagonize the Christian religious people. That's not my intent. I don't want to perpetuate more separation.
Right.
But what I want to do is dissolve with the light of truth what is perpetuating separation. You know, when you read the Bible and it's been misinterpreted for such a long time, and it is used by literally millions of people to judge how others should behave, you've got a serious problem happening.
Yeah.
A serious perpetuation of separation.
Right.
I would just like to see that stop, because it is that concept that we are separate that is being perpetuated in many different forms that is actually causing the problems that we face. And these problems we don't have centuries now to resolve.
Yeah.
We have 10 years. 10 years the scientific community has said to make the changes necessary to save our planet, our environment. Those changes are not political changes. That's not what we need. It's how we view our world. We have to come from a totally different way of seeing in order to establish a new paradigm, a new way of approaching these problems. When you see the interconnectedness of all life, when you understand that when a butterfly flaps its wings, it actually creates an impact somewhere else in the world. This is not imagined, this is real. When every one of us holds that as the truth in our being, you will see unprecedented changes for humanity. We will have a new earth. It will be created out of our interconnectedness.
Wow. I mean,
there's another book, by the way, that I would highly recommend. It's called Wild, W-I-L-D. And it's by a woman named Jay Griffiths.
J-A-Y?
J-A-Y Griffiths.
Okay.
G-R-I-F-F-I-T-H-S. And she goes into great detail about the indigenous cultures and what transpired with the understandings of our interconnectedness in a very, very concrete way. I highly recommend that if you have any interest in understanding how these changes came into being that you start to read things like Wild.
And it talks in depth about the indigenous people and their beliefs and how they were totally interconnected with nature, etc.
Yes, and
okay.
It goes into understandings that are just mind-boggling. They really are. I mean, when you are not familiar with your interconnectedness and you start reading about this, the recognition of these understandings are so profound. They create a whole new feeling inside your being. And that leads me to another thing.
Okay.
And that is that you mentioned that we are doing a sustainable development
mm-hmm.
in Colorado.
Yes.
And we are doing that. We are doing it in the Four Corners area, right underneath one of the most sacred sites for the Native Americans, which is Mesa Verde.
Mm-hmm.
We are in eyesight of Mesa Verde. We have an acreage there that we are going to be doing a sustainable community. It's called the Gawthrop, Gawthrop development.
Wow.
And we will be online with that. All of the challenges that we face will be online for people to see. And if there are those out there who are interested in learning about how you do a sustainable community, what are the things that you take into consideration from the get-go? Because when you do a sustainable community, there are more things to consider immediately up front. What are those things? We'll have that online.
Yeah.
And we welcome anyone who's interested to contact us, and they can get the information from your network.
Right. When are you going to, when you say online, you're going to have a website?
Yes, we're
okay.
in the process of forming that website.
Okay, perfect. I'll keep
and
everybody
posted. We're actually in between the first and second phase
mm-hmm.
of this development, which means we're in the research phase. We own the property outright, and we are going to be moving along with this. So one of our intents is to bring this to people
mm-hmm.
so that they can access it and have information that they themselves can use. And it isn't going to be just how to develop a community, but how you can change your own home environment.
Mm-hmm.
What are the subtle things that you can do
right.
to be a green person?
Yeah, yeah. So are these are they going to be homes? Are they domes? What are you doing there?
No, they're going to be homes,
mm-hmm.
but they will be built with sustainable products.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be testing for geothermal to make sure that we can use geothermal if it's available for heating.
Right.
We are going to be a community that ties into the grid with solar.
Wow.
All of the homes will have solar, and they will all be tied into the grid.
And these are homes that people can purchase later on if they want to live in that type of community?
That's right.
Very
That's
good.
That's right. And we have a river that runs on the property.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a very large creek that runs through the property.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have natural resources like that, the way in which you address those natural resources in the planning stages, very, very important.
Yeah.
Because you have to take into consideration your waste and how you process your waste. In our current day,
mm-hmm.
we should be recycling our wastewater. There are technologies now that can make wastewater so clean that
yeah.
You could drink it.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
And we're going to be using those technologies in our development. So there's a lot you can learn by following what's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, there's one other thing that I'd like to make people aware of is that we have also formed a foundation, and it's called the Foundation for Unification.
Okay.
And this foundation and the people involved in it are dedicated to creating a new template for humanity to view our world. This template is going to be based in several of the understandings I've discussed with you. One, the primary source of all life is undifferentiated and flows through all things, through all the diversity of life, regardless of how it represents itself. Second, all life is interconnected and interdependent. And third, it is this understanding of the underlying unity of spirit, life's interconnectedness and interdependence, that will bring about unprecedented changes in how we create our future. And one of the things that we're going to be doing is events.
Right.
We're going to bring people together in very large groups. We have a very large property that we are currently working on now, bringing in the road so that we can have people come to these events in an extraordinarily beautiful environment.
Mm-hmm.
It's up in the National Forest, our property.
Mm-hmm.
And it's privately owned. So people will be out and actually interacting with the natural world at these events.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we want to bring in speakers, people like Deepak Chopra, but not just spiritual speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore is not just a spiritual
man. That's right.
Man,
that's right.
But
people who are making a difference.
Excuse me?
People who are making a difference, who are actually working. Yeah.
Right. But we want audience participation.
Mm-hmm.
We want it to be interactive. We want the people who are there to be able to interact with the people to come up with solutions.
Right.
For resolving the problems that face humanity.
That's fabulous.
But it's not going to be just that. We will be doing processes that will allow people to discover their own interconnectedness, interactive situations.
Right.
Where people are actually given the tools they need to see their own interconnectedness.
Yeah.
You know, many, many people have never seen the fine web that runs through all creation. And there is. There's a fine web of light that runs through all creation. And it's extraordinary to see. I've seen it. It's beautiful.
I'm sure. And I can't wait to get to that level. We've run out of time.
Isn't that great?
It's awesome. But there's so much more to talk about, so I definitely want to invite you to the show again. So I want to thank you very much for being here and spending time talking to us and enlightening us all. I'm speaking to all our listeners. If anyone is that you know is making a difference in uplifting the consciousness of humanity and they have solutions to the challenges that we face, please have them email me at planetaryawarenessnetwork@hotmail.com. Also, if you wish to read the latest news of breakthroughs and solutions for our planet, or just wish to network with others that are making a difference, please join our message board at groups.msn.com/planetaryawarenessnetwork. And don't forget to tune in next week at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time when Commander Starine of the Ashtar Command will join us. Starine comes from the planet Zeta, planet with the two suns, and she's a hybrid Zeta. And she will talk about the Ashtar Command and how we can all participate in projects that lead to world peace and give support to the command, as well as how to connect with the ships. I hope you will all tune in. It's going to be a very, very interesting show. And until then, this is Isis Coppell of Planetary Awareness Network wishing you a very, very successful 7-7 day of transformation. See you next week.